I too want to wish you good morning and welcome to you on Facebook Live today. Thank you for joining us. I wondered if it was just me or the years seem to go by quicker and quicker and quicker. It seems like we were just celebrating Christmas not that long ago, and here we are singing Christmas songs again. I love the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, but it sure seems like the years are clicking off awful fast. It's good to see you this morning. When I look at the clock, I'm reminded again that the Christmas songs are very quick. So we'll see. We might have some time. And really, I do hope we have some time at the end, because I'd like to pray for people that want to be prayed for. As Casey mentioned, there's a lot of people on our prayer focus. There's a lot of people that hurt. There's a lot of people that are struggling. And I'm hopeful at the end of the service we can take some time just to pray for you if you would like to be prayed for. If you've got your Bibles, Romans chapter 1. And I know you're probably thinking, and I would be too, Romans chapter 1 doesn't have nothing to do with Christmas. However, if you'll stay with me, I'll try to draw a point to what I am going to share in Romans chapter 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. And I'll say two things about that. Number one, it's clear, but it's also graphic. I mean, it's pretty clear. And so I'm reading from the New Living Translation, a few verses from Romans chapter 1. And yes, I will make a point about this scripture that is, in fact, connected to the Advent season. Paul is talking to the church at Rome about the conditions of the unsaved. It's not pretty. And when you read through this, like I have many times in the last couple of weeks, you see the similarities of the conditions of the time that he wrote this letter to the conditions of our time today. So let me set the stage with some scripture. Then quote from an article I read 2-3 weeks ago, and then bring this to all together. Romans 1, beginning at 22. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. You see the similarities already. We've gone one verse. They began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. That's what we're doing today. Claiming to be wise, Paul continues, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And so then in 24, Paul writes this, the first time of three, he's going to make this statement three times. He says, so God abandoned them. Abandoned them to what? To do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. He turned them over. Some of your translations will say, turn them over, deliver them over, gave them up, depending on the translation you've got with you. God abandoned them. You saw the setting in the first couple of verses. Why did he do this? Well, we saw that already. Their minds were dark and confused and all these things. And so he abandoned them over to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, abandoning them over to their shameful desires. As a result, he writes, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Verse 26. He says it the second time. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sex relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. That's kind of where we're at today. In America, when you look around and you think of what's happening and you listen to Christian radio or read Christian publications, you see exactly what he's saying. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their own foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. That's what happens when God turns us over to our own, in some of your translations, debased mind. That's what happens. And let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break the promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. You know, if you read the Old Testament and the New, and we're, let me say this too, we're coming up to a brand new year, like I encourage us every year. I hope that you'll read the Bible through in its entirety this next year. But when we read both the Old and the New Testament, we see so oftentimes that God says to a society, enough is enough. He says to society in their wayward, abandoning God ways, enough is enough, then have it your way. And he will abandon them or us, as Paul writes here, to do whatever shameful things our hearts desire. Or he will abandon us to our shameful desires. Or he will abandon us to our foolish thinking and let us do things that should never be done. When you read the Old Testament, it happens both old and new, and it's happening again today. Stay with me while I continue to set the stage for a few more minutes and then bring the point to reality. I was reading an article from Dr. Michael Brown about 3 weeks ago, and the article was entitled "The Clearest Sign That God Has Given America Over to Depravity." Dr. Michael Brown, I'm sure you've heard of him. I've read some of his on Christian Post. He's an contributing editor to that, plus many, many other things. And he wrote this article, "The Clearest Sign That God Has Given America Over to Depravity." And I quote, "Drag queens reading to toddlers in libraries and schools. Drag queens engaging in acts with children in gay bars. Drag queens performing in our churches." And let me just interject here. I'm still quoting. I will quote from Dr. Brown for a little bit yet. But let me just inject, in case you were think he's not sure what he's talking about, I've read all of this too. It's real. And I continue his quote. "If anything was a sign that God has given over America over to depravity, it is this. Rampant porn addiction is bad enough, as if redefining the very meaning of marriage isn't bad enough. Radicals shouting their abortions and the government openly advocating for the chemical castration and genital mutilation of confused children is yet another telltale sign." All of this is happening. I've told you this before. This is not new to you. And I continue his quote. But the drag queen depravity goes one step further. It celebrates that which is shameful, normalizes that which is perverse, and it does so in the most exaggerated, even overtly demonic form, with drag queens wearing satanic horns while reading to little children. Dr. Brown continues, as reported by Fox News, his story quotes, New York City shelled out more than $200,000 in taxpayer funding in the past 5 years to have drag queens come into the classroom interacting with children as young as three. This is madness, he writes. This is depravity. This is perverse. But this is what happens when God gives people over to our own sinful imaginations. This is what happens. A clear and definite line is crossed, and people not only tolerate evil, they celebrate evil. That which is despicable, I'm still quoting from Dr. Brown, that which is despicable is now honored, that which is shameful is paraded openly. The conscience is seared, and the folly is revealed. It's as if God said, if that's what you want, then have at it, without restraint and without reserve. The seat belts are off, the brakes do not work, you are in free fall now. I will let the whole world see your folly, Brown writes. And finally, he writes this in this article. And consider this, he said, which I wrote in 1993. He inserts into the same article that he wrote three weeks ago. Yes, America has hit rock bottom. We venerate the degenerate. People of God, he says, awake. The judgment is already here. When a nation slaughters millions, tens of millions of its precious unborn, judgment is already here. When radical feminists are elected to public office, judgment is already here. When homosexuals march through our cities accompanied by our mayors proclaiming God is gay and we want your boys, judgment is already here. When 100,000 of our young children, young people, carry guns to school, judgment is already here. When we have become the world's greatest debtor nation, and when diseases outpace new cures, when homeless children roam the streets, judgment is already here. When there is one murder every half an hour, and one reported rape every hour, when the court convicts the innocent and acquit the guilty, judgment is already here. End quote. Now, some in the church will say, no, God has not abandoned America. That isn't for me to decide, but I'll tell you now why I'm speaking to this at the start of the Advent season. America needs Jesus. America needs Christmas. America needs the light of Jesus. When we read these kind of articles, and I read them just to keep on top of what's happening in America, we realize it is, in fact, a very dark time in American history and the history of the world. And we should conclude the darkness of mankind that we live in needs the light of Jesus. As it was at the time when Jesus entered into the world 2,000 years ago, so it is again. Darkness prevails over our land. And I shall quote the Apostle Paul once more. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. This seems to be the point at which we too have arrived. 650 years before Jesus came onto the scene as a baby, Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, to which we should say, hallelujah. That's what Isaiah wrote 650 years before the Messiah got here. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. This is good news. Good news for them, good news for the world, good news for us. But then we fast forward that 650 years when John was writing in John chapter 3 and verse 19. He says this, "This then is the judgment. The light," that's Jesus, "has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. The people of Israel and beyond needed the light. And Jesus, we all know the story. We all know the Gospels. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The light came, and John writes, and of course, John is writing a bunch of years later after Jesus' ministry is over. He's been crucified, put in the grave, and resurrected. John is writing many years later, "But the people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil." So here's my point to establishing this foundation today. What will we do in the conditions that Dr. Brown writes about? What will the church do? What will we do in these kind of conditions? Will we wring our hands and just hide? That's not what the disciples did. Will we just throw in the towel and say there's nothing I can do because America is too far gone? That's not what the William Wilberforces of the world did. I shared with you a month or so ago who he is. And really, whether we agree or not, whether God has turned us over to our own debased mind in America, that I suppose is up to debate. It surely seems like we have been turned over to our own foolish thinking and doing the things that should not be done. That certainly seems a reality. But even though that may be a reality, that is precisely the kind of condition Paul went into to share the good news of the light of Jesus Christ. It's these same kind of conditions that the gospel was preached by the disciples, the early followers of Jesus. It's these same kind of conditions that they went out into that darkness to shed some light. So my question for me and us today, what will we do to help shed some light? You say, "Jim, I can't do anything." Yes, we can. We can invite someone to church. We can invite someone to the Christmas program, to the children's program, to the Christmas Eve service. We can go visit them. There's all kinds of things. We can hand them tracts. We can tell them the reason of Christmas. We can share love and show love to those that are listed in chapter 1 of Romans, that list that is not easy even to read, much less realize it's a reality. There are so many ways to shed light in our communities, in our nation today. There are people hurting of every imagination. Maybe because death, maybe because of cancer, maybe because of a dozen other things. But there's people that could use a little light from the church this season. I don't know if you noticed or not, but some years ago, Linda before and Jennifer this year put an honor roll of in remembrance on TV in the foyer. If you haven't looked at it, look at that. That is people we have lost this year. Their pictures there are in memory. And when you remember those pictures and look at those pictures, maybe you'll remember their loved ones might could use a visit from you. What will we do this Christmas season to help some shed some light into this darkness? When I read things like Dr. Michael Brown's article, I think, man, I hope that's not true. But then when I look at what's happening around us and I see what's happening around us, I think he may be right, and we may very well be abandoned to our own debased mind, to our own depravity, to our own foolish thinking. But I also believe it is in precisely these conditions that we need to shine some light of Jesus. Amen? I love Matthew 5:14. I've shared it with you many, many times, but this is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount to the people that he was speaking to that would be his followers. He said, "You are the light of the world." That's what he told them. And that's what he tells the church today. You are the light in that darkness that Dr. Michael Brown just wrote about. You and I, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And it should be, when he continues to speak about that light, it should be that you and I are noticeable. Because he said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then he talks about the light being hid. Who buys a light to hide it? So he reminds us, he challenges us in the church today, in spite of these kind of darknesses that are all around us that Michael Brown writes about and so many more people write about, and you've seen it and I've seen it. He says to the church, you're the light. When you have come to Christ, when you have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and are Spirit-led, you are the light in your community. And then he says, when he wraps up that little Matthew 5, 14, 15, 16 discourse, he said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Are you hearing him this morning, friends? The reality of darkness is real. The difficulties in our time, of the time in which we live, are real. That doesn't take away from the fact that the church is challenged to be the light in the darkness. That's us. You say, Jim, that's your job. Yes, it is, but it's the church's job. He wasn't talking to preachers in Matthew 5:14. He was talking to followers of Jesus. You, he said, are the light. You are the ones, myself included, Jesus said, that should shine like that city on the hill. And when people see your light, they give glory to God for what you're doing, being a light in the darkness. That's what he's instructed us to. And so just because we see these conditions that Dr. Brown wrote about, yes, they're real. Yes, the times in which we live is dark. That doesn't mean we wring our hands and throw in the towel and say, there's nothing I can do, because Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And so I'm encouraging us and I'm challenging us this Christmas season, and really always, but especially this Christmas season, be the light to somebody, someplace, somewhere. Be the light. We're way early, but we're going to quit. We started early. We finished early. And so that's my challenge to us for today, to be the light. Now, while we get ready to sing this last song, I'd just like to spend some time in prayer. And we can either sing, the song over again, or Jane can play a little or whatever. But if you're here this morning and you're burdened by something, or you've lost a loved one, or whatever the case may be, we'd like to pray for you. And so whether you want to just come to the altar and pray yourself, or you want us, Casey, myself, Pastor Chuck is here, Chaplain Dale is here, we'll pray for you. We'll be glad to pray for you. So I want to spend some time in the rest of our service this morning singing this song, this old Bev Shea song. I love this song. It goes with the season. But I also want to spend some time praying. There's a lot on our minds, isn't there? But I love that song, and I love listening to Bev Shea sing it. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And that's where it starts, friends. If you haven't surrendered everything to Jesus, that's where it starts. He's not a religion. It starts with surrendering everything to Jesus, trusting Him as Lord. He is the light of the world. He is Messiah. And I know there's a 100 different stories here this morning as I look at your faces. Death and hurt and heaviness. But I'm suggesting to you the answer is still Jesus. Lay everything at the feet of Jesus. Surrender to Him completely this Christmas season. Claim Him as Lord by faith and allow Him to lead you in the pathway we call life. Father, thank You for being here with us this morning. There's 101 stories right here in this sanctuary today. Probably 101 hurts. And Father, I'm just asking in the power in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You would minister to people like only You can. Some watching online or perhaps even standing here this morning are not even sure. They're not even completely sure if they've made peace with You through faith in Your Son. And so I just pray, Father, that if there's anybody watching, or anybody here this morning that hasn't been born of God, Jesus said, you must be born again. That hasn't been born again in the spiritual sense, I pray that they'd start right there. Simply by repenting of sin and receiving by faith Jesus Christ, committing their life to You, Lord Jesus, and just saying in essence, take over. Take over my life, Lord. I need You as Savior and Lord. And for those that hurt from a multitude of things, the death they're experiencing could have been last week. It could have been last year. But there's still that hole. Father, will You fill it with Your love? Will You embrace them? Will You comfort them? Will You encourage them? Will You walk with them? Will You guide them and draw them close and help them, Father, to feel Your peace and Your radiating love in the absence of their precious, dear loved one? For those that have loved ones sick right now and clinging to life, perhaps, encourage and strengthen them, O God. For those broken in their body, broken in their heart, grant healing, merciful God, we pray. For those confused about what is life even about, grant them the way forward, Father, by Your Spirit, I pray. May this Christmas season not be one of dread, but one of great joy because they know that they're walking with Jesus. And they can say, like George Beverly Shea said so long ago when he wrote and sang this song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. So go with us, Father, in this Christmas season. Help us to be light. Oh, Lord, You know better than I. You know better than we. We're living in a dark time. Help Your people to be light. I pray to bring glory to You, encouragement to our community, to our neighbors, to our families, to whoever we encounter. Help us to be light this season and tell folks the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray it in His name. Amen.